Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get to today's podcast. If you could please take 1 minute out of your day to rate and review the podcast, and of course, please subscribe, it would mean a lot. As always, we really appreciate the ongoing support from all of you and the great feedback we are getting. I hope you guys enjoy today's podcast. Cheers. It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers. G'day, everyone. Welcome to episode 44 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, here with another preview with the boys, George and Haru. We're going to be talking about the Community Shield today. Liverpool versus Arsenal, a couple of League One fixtures too, because there's not too much going on in football with Europa and Champions League all done. And like last week, we'll go through some of the big fights in the UFC. Firstly, introduce the card man himself, the card betting expert, George Gamble. Mate, I would say on the whole, for both of you last week, some great picks, especially our best bet of the weekend, or not our, it's probably your best bet of the weekend. Lots of great picks in the Europa final, lots of goals there. Monaco Reims, you got a few there, and also the Thiago Silva booking, which is nice, mate. You must be happy.
No, very pleased to be honest with both finals, obviously in the elite European competitions. It's quite funny actually for the writer for Wheel of Betting, a preview to Sevilla. Into the Milan final. I was the only one to get the correct score, predicted to be a 3-2, so I was also well happy with that. Again, with that one though in particular, I couldn't believe the price for goals. It was insane. Obviously, the bookies got it the completely wrong way around. And obviously, an important thing in betting, obviously, finding those bits of value where something slightly overpriced there and obviously taking the advantage of it. So, obviously, yeah, very pleased with that one. PSG, Bayern Munich, I think everyone was expecting goals, weren't they? Everyone was expecting just to see an absolute hatful of goals. Obviously, just the one in the end. But yeah, Thiago Silva, the man, the myth, the legend, getting booked.
5-1. That's crazy.
5-1, especially when you look at everything behind it. You know, like we explained last week, he's quite an emotional character anyway. You're up against the might of Bayern, who, you know, attack you very quickly. So, and it's his last game for PSG. So kind of everything was sort of leading. He's probably more likely to get booked than not. But 5-1 for a centre half to get booked, even before you know the game's even started, it was massive. So to see that one land, I was very happy with that one. And you know, Monaco Reims again previewed that. Picked two bets from that one, and both of those won as well. It was a good weekend all round for me, really.
Yeah, your man's on fire. Also joining us, Haru, pro sports better out of Vegas, mate. But today you're in LA.
Yep, in LA today. Just with visiting some family out here, taking a day off tomorrow. So just going to catch up with some family.
Good, man. And you had another good week too. You just revealed off air your results for the last month.
It's been pretty good. I mean, we've been on a pretty sick heater since like August of 2019. Last year, we've only had one losing month. So, I mean, it's been pretty remarkable, our results. So, I'm pretty happy with the direction we're going with.
Do you dare to share how much turnover on air you've gone through this month so far?
Yeah, close to five mil in turnover.
It's not bad. Not bad. Same, mate. I mean,
I'm sure you've had worse months.
Yeah.
George, we have. I mean, this is going to be probably one of the highest turnover months we've done, just because everything is compressed. There's been a lot of stuff coming back with all the U.S. sports, so it's been a pretty good opportunity to get some turnover down.
Yep, definitely, mate. All right, fellas, football quiz question of the week. Haru, you didn't send me a basketball one, so we'll have to go with football again. Most Community Shield wins, fellas, in the theme of this week, Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester United or Chelsea. So I'm sure, Haru, you'll be going for the first option, Arsenal. And George probably go with number three, as always.
Well, we might surprise you. Might surprise you.
I might mix it up. We don't know that. Last week was number one, but this week's to be determined.
All right, we'll see what happens. All right, let's kick it off, fellas. Community Shield, Arsenal, Liverpool, How good is it to see Arsenal win another another game for a trophy? It's just a beautiful thing.
Depends who you support, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Liverpool. I wanted this interest. It's a very weird game, this one, because out of every Community Shield final you could ever think of, this is probably going to be, you would have to imagine it'll be quality-wise quite poor because they've only just come back into training. I mean, but they've only had a couple weeks off. You can think of it that way. You wouldn't expect both teams to play their strongest side. Liverpool, I think this is their second week of training now. Arsenal, this is their first week of training. They played a friendly against MK Dons on Tuesday night, I believe that was. Arsenal did. And they actually fielded a decent team for that, which I was very surprised by. I thought they would just literally field all the reserves. But I think all the reserves came on in the second half. But yeah, odds for this one. Best Arsenal at 5.1, draw 4.4, and Liverpool at 1.72. And interestingly enough, Arsenal beat them in the last time they played, which we shall never forget.
Yeah.
George, what are you thinking? It's such a strange game, and I'm assuming we're going to be looking at the angle like when we get to Haru that maybe if you are going to bet this one, you wait till the last minute until the lineups are pulled out.
I mean, looking at it, I'm thinking the price is too far apart already. I think Arsenal should be a lot closer in terms of who's going to win this one. I've got quite a few sort of facts for it as well to kind of back that reasoning up. You know, Arsenal have never lost the Community Shield in regular time in the EPL era. You know, they've won 7 and lost 2 on pens, and both of the losses were to Manchester United. As well as that, Liverpool are in back-to-back Community Shields for the first time since 2001-2002. And ironically, the second one they played then, they lost 1-0 to Arsenal. But yeah, as well as that, Arsenal have scored in all 5 Community Shields that they've played in since 2004. As well as that, you know, they've won 13 of the last 14 games at Wembley as a whole in all competitions since they lost to Birmingham City. So, you know, 13 of the last 14 is that's some going. But also looking at kind of booking points, it's hard to gauge because 20 plus booking points each team is one I'll look at. But it's not landed in any of the last 5 Community Shields at all. So it's either one team getting a hatful and the other getting none, or both sides getting one. You know, it's not often too many. It kind of fluctuates. But no, you were spot on. Obviously, Arsenal played MK Dons and they won 4-1. I think new signing Saliba started that one. But so I'd argue that they're probably going to go with the same team that perhaps started that one, maybe. So that's likely to see Willian start on the bench, you'd have thought. Because a new signing, Gabriel, I'm going to try and pronounce this right. Is it Magalhaes,
I think, yeah.
Magalhaes, yeah. So he's obviously going to have signed, but he's got to go into 14-day quarantine, so he won't be available.
No.
But as well as that,
Pepe too, he might come onto the bench.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. As well as that, Bern Leno returned from injury, which I'm sure was good for Arsenal fans to see. Obviously, they're number one. However, it does obviously going to cause a big kind of decision for Arteta. Emiliano Martinez was excellent for you boys last season and filled in that gap really well. So, be interesting to see who starts that one. Obviously, Ceballos, he's not an Arsenal player at the moment, is he? So, someone's got to come in and replace him.
100%. That's the biggest problem with this team. I mean, obviously, there's a chance that he won't field a full strength lineup anyway, but I'd say defensively, he's going to get pretty close to 100%.
Yep.
Midfield, I mean, they started El Neni the other day, so that's a massive worry if El Neni is going to start, because you've got Xhaka and El Neni partnering each other. Even though Ceballos doesn't have much going forward, decent bit going forward, but I mean, El Neni's another fucking ballpark. So,
I think you're playing him down. I think he's probably the best Egyptian in the Premier League, isn't he? but so it'll be interesting to see if obviously El Neni, Guendouzi, or someone comes in to partner, say Xhaka. But for Liverpool, Trent Alexander-Arnold didn't travel to Austria, so perhaps Neco Williams will start in the fullback berth. Henderson's just got back into full training, so he might not be risked, but we know how important Henderson is obviously to that Liverpool side when he does play. Ryan Brewster was on loan at Swansea last season, but he impressed in Austria, so he could be in line for a start, we don't know. Van Dijk got a head injury the last time in their last friendly, it was against Salzburg, so he should start ideally. But just going by the facts and, you know, obviously some of the players that could be missing for Liverpool, Trent and Henderson, large part of how they play. I know they've sort of been back a bit longer. I just feel with perhaps the pedigree that Arsenal have got at Wembley in the Community Shield, the last result against Liverpool, obviously, I just feel the price on Arsenal to win at 4-1 or 5.0 as we've got it over here, it's just far too much. It's far too high. So again, I might be sort of having a little dabble on, I think, because Arsenal to win over here, like I said, 4-1, and under 2.5. So I think that's a lot, that's landed in four of the last five Community Shields. That's 11-8. So if you combine those two odds, it's around, I think, 6-1. So, you know, that's unreal value considering the amount of times that's happened. But I'd quite like Arsenal double chance in this one. I'm going to avoid the card simply because it fluctuates so much. Not quite sure who the ref is yet, but I don't think both teams won't be getting obviously 20 points. I don't think that'll come in. So for me, Arsenal double chance is a great price. Just again, the odds are far too high for that. So the value here, I think, would be on Arsenal as opposed to Liverpool.
Yeah, and like I said before, I was surprised with the team that Arteta put out for that friendly against MK Dons. It was actually pretty close to full strength. So there is a decent chance that he might just field, like we said before, that exact same team, yep, which was pretty decent. It's okay. Haru, mate, is there anything happening in the markets at the moment?
In a technical aspect, there isn't so much movement here. For me to get on a play this early, I'll probably wait a little bit to place my position just to justify, you know, a real move. But as of right now, all I'll be doing is monitoring this particular game. I haven't put any positions yet. Exchanges just came out with the market maybe a day ago. So I'm gonna give it maybe another day or two and see what comes of it closer to the day of the match.
Yeah, so this one's on Saturday night, I believe. Would you say similar to COVID times, I guess, when the Premier League was on, where it was pretty unpredictable what teams were going to come out? So there was just so much action going into that last couple of hours before the teams came out?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, during these unprecedented times, there's always, you know, unorthodox moves happening in the marketplace. So, I mean, I keep my eyes open for any movement closer to the start of the game and see what we can snag up for value right before it starts.
And what kind of movements do you reckon you'll be looking for in terms of finding the right team to back?
I mean, obviously paying attention to lineups and things like that will be one of the more primary things I'd be looking for. And just anything that really moves really hard and really fast, those are kind of the things that I want to be looking at, because those are the key pieces of information that really affect the implied probabilities that are being posted by the sports books and the exchanges. So just looking at relative information that comes into the market that can alter the probabilities.
I mean, betting on the sharps as opposed to what most people are betting on the softs. I mean, I rarely am just sitting there at, you know, maybe like 4 o'clock on a Saturday when the teams are about to be released. But you do notice on the softs that you get a bit of a chance, or maybe you get about 15 seconds before you can, you know, maybe find some value there. But on the sharps, I assume it's a lot quicker. So like, how often do you think you actually sit, let's just say a team's released at five o'clock in the afternoon, how, like, is it quite rare that you're actually able to get on a good price before they're slashed?
Not really rare, no. I mean, you kind of I've set myself up with resources, whether it's through Twitter, channels that I'm following that'll give me the quickest possible feed to know when the lineups are released. Just having that available to me gives me that extra 30 seconds or 1 minute or whatever it is, because in the sports betting world, you know, every second that you can get an advantage to anybody else is so precious. That's where a majority of your opportunity is. And I think that I wouldn't just, you know, sit there and just watch this game specifically. But thanks to my software, I'm able to set it up in a way where if I'm looking at 10 or 20 games, I'm monitoring them. I have indicators where lights are flashing and I'm able to see that money starting to come. So it's one of those things where if you have better resources, you know, whether that's through Twitter or software that's real-time odds, you're just going to put yourself in a position to be able to see those things faster.
I'd love to see that in live action, mate. Those few seconds of frantic betting.
Yeah, maybe we could do something someday.
Yeah, mate, you come over to Australia. Well, whenever I get there. all right, we'll move on. That's looking forward to that one. Ren, so the next game we're going to look at is the League One games. We'll pick two out of game week two, the ones that our man George sees a bit of interest here, whether that be in the cards markets or stats-wise. Why don't we just kick things off, mate? Rennes versus Montpellier.
Yeah, so I've got a few fancies, some obviously to do with cards and others with different kind of statistics just going through. Just outright, I'm fancying Rennes in this one. They've won 8 out of 10 of their last sort of home matches in the league, obviously counting last season as well. They've lost one, and that was to Marseille, obviously a very good side, and then drew home to Brest as well. Montpellier, however, they've failed to score in the last four away, and it's no surprise they've lost those last four away as well. Whereas, Rennes have kept a clean sheet in five of their last seven against Montpellier in all competitions, so they seem to have the upper hand against them when they do play. Last season, Rennes were the fourth most fouled team at home, whilst Montpellier committed the most fouls when playing away. So you've got to fancy, obviously, a few cards in this one, particularly for Montpellier. And in the reverse, well, in this fixture last season, this exact same fixture with Rennes at home, they won 5-0. So it wasn't just a lucky win. They absolutely pummeled them. And Rennes have just signed left winger Terrier from Lyon as well. A nice tricky winger as well. So a very good buy for them. And the key for me thinking this is a Rennes win is obviously Geronimo Rulli, Montpellier. He made the fourth most saves last season. And obviously the loan's expired and he's gone back to Sevilla. So they've signed Omlin from Basel. So Rulli is a massive miss between the sticks. And as you know, the defence, if they've got a keeper behind them that they can rely on, they perform much better. So losing someone of Rulli's stature, it's going to be a big blow. So for me, last night I looked and it was 21-20 on Betfair. So for you decimal guys, just to convert it.
Oh, I've got my converter up too, mate. It's not time to shine.
2.05. And then 105 American. So yeah, I think that's far too big on Rennes win. I think it should be probably closer to about 4-5, personally. I'd be tempted just on value as well, on Rennes, just to have a clean sheet. Because I think they've signed a strong centre-half recently. That they're hoping he's kind of young, so we'll see if he gets a start. But they've reinforced at the back, so that's 11-8, which I think is a great price considering Montpellier. I know it's into last season, but they've not really made any proper astute buys, as it were, to kind of change that. So Rennes clean sheet 11-8 looks very tempting, as does Montpellier to see the most bookings as well. It's landed in two of the last three when they've played at Roijon Park, Rennes' home ground. But obviously, I'll need to wait kind of the referees to see that one. And obviously, for odds to be released, because when I was looking at the odds hadn't been released for that one just as of yet. But everything to me points to a Rennes win. I think Montpellier will pick up a few more cards from Rennes as well. I think it might be a bit of one-way traffic, especially when you consider the Rennes average. I think it was around 52% possession when they play at home in the league, compared to Montpellier's, I think, like 46% away. So I think Rennes are going to see more of the ball anyway. So for me, yeah, my best bet would be Rennes win. Montpellier, most booking points for that one.
Yep, tremendous insight as always, mate. We'll get to Saint-Étienne versus Lorient in a second. Haru, before you fall asleep, mate, is there anything at all in League One that's markets-wise? Last week you said it was very, very quiet, and that would have been, probably that was only like a day or so before the games were starting. So what are you seeing this week? Anything different, a bit more action?
No, honestly, it's still relatively slow, the market. Not much movement. However, I want to recap on what we talked about last week when I mentioned it was also slow. 12 to 16 hours, the sharps started making a lot of moves in league in this French league. So, I think that if you're looking to bet for value, I mean, typically when sharps are betting into a specific market, They'll come in around the same time, especially when it's in these early first or second weeks, because they're the ones who really control the market. There are a lot more positions that are being weighted on to play. So I'm personally going to probably be monitoring again closer to the start of these matches. right now, I'm not really seeing much movement for me to play personally as a trader. But if somebody, you know, has an edge, like, and has supporting reason, kind of like how George just mentioned, I think playing there is fine. But as a trader, I'd probably wait in that sweet spot, maybe 12, 16 hours before the matches, maybe even closer, and see if I can, you know, see some sharp movement there.
And for those who haven't heard Haru talk much before, I guess your overall strategy is kind of just based on numbers. So I guess what you're waiting for is to see significant movement on one side and then make your play there. And I assume from like most of the things that I've heard from you, both on and off air, I would say that like most of the time you're following the money if there is a significant movement there suddenly.
Sort of, yeah. But the problem that comes with, you know, betting at a large scale, if you try to do that after the move has happened, it's a lot harder to get the money down. So one area where I'm really focusing on is anticipating where the market's going to go, reading exchanges before the moves actually happen, seeing where the money's being positioned, which side is the liquidity coming on. Those kinds of things are important when you're looking at a market, but because if you see pennies already move, you know, 20 cents, let's say something is sitting at 2.2, drops to 2.0, and you're like, okay, now I'm going to go bet it. It's kind of already too late, especially when you're betting at a high level. So I am, to some degree, placing when there is value available in the market, but I think one area where I'm really concentrated in is trying to anticipate those moves and read the market before it actually happens in front of.
Okay. And George, back to you, mate. Do you want to take us through Saint-Étienne versus Lorient?
Yeah, of course, can do.
Sorry if I've pronounced, I just feel like I'm pronouncing all of these teams so poorly. Is it Lorient or?
Yeah, Lorient. My French is not on point. I just had a little extra to it, so I sound like I know what I'm talking about. It's great. but no, I'm looking forward to this one, though. Obviously, Lorient, newly promoted side. Went up against Strasbourg last time out at home, and a lot of people thought Strasbourg were going to roll them over. And, you know, Lorient came out winners. I think they won that one 3-1. They looked very good, looked compact, took their chances when they had to. So, like I said, completely brushed aside Strasbourg, and they're coming up against Saint-Étienne. Saint-Étienne failed to win the last 7 matches in the league. And, you know, they were quite lucky to stay up, I think, last season. Personally, I think they played quite poorly. But looking at this, I'm trying to look at the fouls sort of market, and Lorient committed 17 fouls at home to Strasbourg, and you know Strasbourg aren't the most attacking side ever, so to commit that many fouls suggests to me that Lorient are an aggressive team. You know, Saint-Étienne have conceded in I think 11 out of 14 home games last season and scored 2 goals in just 4 out of 14 home games, so clearly goals, you know, scoring goals are their main issue as well as letting them in the other end. But they lost 1 and drew 1 at home to the newly promoted sides last season, and that was Brest and Metz. But I'd argue Lorient have got a bit more about them. So I think Lorient, if anything, should be fairly favoured here, whether that be on the double chance or not. But I think Lorient are still going to be quite aggressive all over the park. So for me, my best bets of it are going to be Lorient 20-plus booking points. I want to see what the odds are on that first. Again, they haven't been released at the time when I was doing the research for it. So obviously, if it's pitiful, I'd personally want potentially around 8 to 11 for that for me. Again, I'll do a conversion for you because obviously I'll probably go a bit bigger on that because I think I'm fairly sure that would happen. Obviously, again, depending on the ref. That's only about
1.73.
Yeah, correct. So, but again, I think if I'd want a bit higher than that, but that's what I think it should be. And I quite like Saint-Étienne to score under 2 goals as well. I just don't think they've got the firepower. And I think Lorient are going to hassle them and break up all of their play. But also like Lorient 20 plus booking points and double chance for them to win. So either a Lorient win or a draw. I don't see Saint-Étienne winning personally. So especially with the energy that Lorient have, you often see with newly promoted sides, you know, their first few games back in the top flight or in a season, they kind of overperform slightly. So I think that could be a possibility here as we saw against Strasbourg. So for me, I think my favourite bet within that one would be the 20 plus Lorient booking points and Lorient double chance as well.
Yeah, and that's where Saliba's come from too. And
yeah.
I noticed last season he spent a bit of time out with injury.
Mm.
I think at the start of the season he was not injured and they got off to a flyer, Saint-Étienne, and I'm pretty sure like they were nearing the top four, and then he got injured and it kind of collapsed with the loss of Saliba too. So That's an interesting thing to look at too.
Should be a good game. Should be a good game, that one. So if you've got the time, I'd give it a watch, definitely.
All right, there you go. Bit of a Liga watching. Love that. UFC to finish off, fellas. Two main fights this week, and once again, the cards are very weak, I would say, and then they're just very, maybe like a really good main event or a co-main event in this case. Robbie Lawler versus Neil Magny is the first one we're going to take a look at. Lawler's last win was actually 3 years ago, but he has lost only to the best. So like Dos Anjos, Askren, even Askren, he nearly beat him. Covington, 34 years old, another important thing to take into account. And on the other hand, Magny has won twice since his USADA suspension over Rocco Martin and Li Jingliang. Don't know if I've completely butchered that. But the thing with Magny is that he's often, I would say he's failed 90% of the time when he's come up against elite fighters. I mean, I don't know if you would class Robbie Lawler as an elite fighter, but he's an absolute legend. He's obviously not in his best form at the moment, but he is a legend when it comes to MMA. Odds, 3.1 for Robbie Lawler and 1.4 for Neil Magny. Haru, I know you've already made a position on this one. You got Magny at some decent odds, but I can't believe the odds on Lawler here. I think they're a bit big.
Yeah, so, I mean, when it comes to me placing bets, sometimes my opinion is kind of disregarded when I'm placing bets, because if there is value that's, you know, sitting in the market, I have no choice but to take it, because it is the liquid side. Whatever I want to do with it, moving closer to the start of the match, or I can buy back on the other side. But I'm surprised it got hit pretty hard. Magny's price has gotten a lot more expensive than what it opened at. I think it opened below like maybe like 1.55, and now we're close to like 1.42. I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I thought it would 100% go the other way.
Yeah, but it is kind of plateauing now. So whenever we see a heavy move like that, if any further move happens, based on the way the market's currently sitting, I can see them buying back on Lawler, but as of right now, I mean, the price has gotten too expensive on Magny. If you were going to buy, you should have bought early. So the best recommendation I can give right now is just keep an eye on Lawler and see if that price drops closer to the start of the match and try to build the position there on the value.
So you wouldn't act until you see some movement on Lawler's side?
Right now it's kind of plateaued. So I think any of the early inefficiencies, if there was information that came into the market, me personally, I haven't really looked too deep into this one, but in a technical aspect, reading the odds, they came in heavy on Magny, but it's plateaued now. We're not seeing any more action coming on Magny. So what that usually means to me is it'll plateau this way until we get to the fight. And if we, see any late movement, maybe they'll buy back on Lawler on a pretty discounted price.
Yeah, definitely look out for that one. And I was going to ask a general question in terms of UFC. I was wondering if you do much in-play betting, because I talked to Ryan Bruno about this a couple of 2 weeks ago, I'd say, and he kind of agreed with me in the fact that it seems quite efficient. The live market in between rounds is kind of when I've been betting. Have you noticed anything there? I mean, I assume the liquidity is not even
efficient.
Well, I would say it's very inefficient. But the problem the problem for you is that the liquidity is not going to be there for the amount that you want to put down.
Yeah, it's one of those things where timing is also like really, really critical. Like you're seeing something, you know, you're watching these fights essentially for you to justify their inefficiency in the marketplace. So when we're watching these matches, it's important. You have such a very short time window. There's, you know, maybe a minute between the rounds, and you got to make your decisions. If you're, you know, pulling up several books to try to maybe get some type of arbitrage or sure bet there, it's kind of one of those things where you do have to be quick and decisive. It's not really like a soccer market where there's stale action passing back and forth, where you can, you know, have a few moments to justify your bet. But I mean, there are inefficiencies. I've seen them. There are ways that fights are going where you can pick up on good information. I personally haven't really done so much of those in between or those live betting markets, but if I had to, I would, because I do notice those inefficiencies when I'm pulling up the penny market and I see the live odds going.
Mm, yeah, definitely. All right, we'll talk about the other one, Anthony Smith, Alexander Rakic. I thought this was interesting, just looking at Smith's record before. If you take away which was a pretty devastating loss to Glover, and it should have been stopped a lot earlier, Glover Teixeira, that is. That was 3 months ago, and I guess that's the biggest factor going into this fight, is the fact that Smith was, you know, beaten to a pulp, and this is only 3 months later. So, you always wonder how much recovery he's been able to get in. But if you take away that loss, he's only lost to John Jones in his past however many fights. He was on some sort of run. And as we know, John Jones, arguably the best of all time. So, and then the other hand, Rakic, you can also make the argument that he's on a 13-fight win streak. Lots of people thought he won the Ozdemir and won the fight against Ozdemir in his last fight. I believe it might have been unanimous decision, maybe split, I can't really remember. And then I've written down here also, it might be worth an in-play bet if it goes past the first round, because Rakic is very heavily favoured. He's a very explosive striker, gets lots of first-round finishes. So it might be worth a play if Rakic has a decent first round, even if Smith loses the first round. It might be worth an in-play bet there too. It's basically the same odds here, except you can get a higher price in some places for Anthony Smith, 3.4, the best I could find on Smith, and 1.4 for Magny. Rakic,
yeah. I mean, some places, the movement hasn't been as, sharp and substantial as the Magny fight, but I think that they pulled back on and bet on Smith a little bit. There has been some money there. One of the sports books that I respect here in the U.S., Bet Online, opened at, they're looking at like 3.7 on Smith, and they've dropped to like 3.25 now. So, it's pretty substantial. But one other thing that we don't really talk much about is the round totals. They bet on the over 1.5, very significantly opened at around like 1.78 at Pinnacle, and other places followed suit, such as 5 Dimes Bet Online, and the prices come up closer to like 1.64 now. So, there has been some movement there. I don't know what they're seeing there, but that's something to take note of. And I know, in those European markets, some of those sports books are not that sharp to move on totals. So my recommendation would be to also keep an eye there and see if you can find anything on the totals, because it has been moving the direction of the overs.
It's very interesting. You wonder whether it's because, Anthony Smith has seen the last fight, he can take some damage. So maybe they're thinking he'll just be able to cop it in the first round and fight on through to the end. That would be my guess.
Yeah, potentially. That seems pretty reasonable.
All right. Any thoughts on the fights, George, mate?
I love watching him. I remember watching Robbie Lawler against Ben Askren, just thinking Robbie Lawler is just taking apart this man. Like, what is going on? And obviously how Askren won that, I will never know how that even happened.
It was a very rare choke. I believe it was bulldog choke or...
Yeah, something of that nature. But obviously Askren's face was just a wreck, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like a Picasso painting. So looking at Anthony Smith as well, I thought he was going to win last time after watching through it. Like I said, I don't know sort of the ins and outs of it, but I know people that do, but more of a keen watcher. But if I was to have a punt on who I think Robbie Lawler's going to win against Magny.
Mm.
And after, obviously, especially what Harut said, although Rakic's got that firepower, I'd like, if I was to do a double, it'd be Robbie Lawler and over 1.5 in Anthony Smith against Rakic. Again, I'm not the expert, so don't blame me on that one, but that's what I'd go for.
It's interesting fights, because I think they're a bit closer than the odds are saying at the moment, but there's probably a reason why they're at that All right, fellas, best of the weekend. We'll start with you, George. We were both very successful last week. Can you keep it rolling?
Let's hope so, because my best bet of the weekend is going to be Rennes to win at home to Montpellier.
Rennes to win. I'm going to write this one down so I don't have to go listen to the podcast again. And you, Haru, is there anything you're really liking at the moment?
I mean, I'm really heavy on Mallory Martin. I've got quite a bit of money there. I got some decent money on her because I pretty much played what the openers were. That's like -240 American, -260. I played -270, and we're all the way up to like there's -320 now.
Well, so, what, I didn't catch you though. What was the name of that fighter?
Mallory Martin. She's playing against Hannah.
Okay.
Yeah, Hannah Cypress. Yeah. So I built the position there. Also got Neil Magny, but that one's more for reasons of liquidity. The market was just moving heavy. I had to get on that. Bet a little bit on Mackie Patolo, not so much. Just naming out a few of the things that I've bet. I also have a position on Alexa Grasso. And that's it, pretty much. But my main position is on Mallory Martin for UFC.
Nice, mate. Good stuff. All right, if you that'll do us for today, fellas. We'll get to the quiz question in a sec, but if you want to follow the work that these two gentlemen are doing, follow George Gamble at C George Gamble on Twitter, and also check out his stuff he's writing for We Love Betting every week. I assume he's doing some sort of write-up for those League One games that he mentioned before. And also follow Haru Masayan Pro Sports Better at BetLikeHaru. As I always say, some of the best Twitter feeds out there. Quiz question, fellas. Most Community Shield wins. Here are your options again. Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester United or Chelsea. George, mate, how about you go first this week?
Well, as a City fan, growing up in sort of in the Premier League era, United were obviously always winning. It was painful. So obviously, naturally, they're either winning the league or the FA Cups. So naturally, with that, you're going to Community Shield. So because of that, being the most successful club, going to have to say Man United.
Oh, that hurts. What about you, Haru? What do you reckon?
That was going to be my choice. I was going to throw them off today with the number
Great
three.
Minds.
You know, this is the thing. When I was growing up, I played like a lot of FIFA. So I was watching a lot of soccer back in the day. It was like my favorite game to play on
it's so good.
PlayStation. So yeah, so it's like the best game that was ever made. I was a huge I played basketball, but I never liked to play on FIFA. But game consoles. But I did keep up with it back in the day. I know Man United, Chelsea were always popular, and it's just they dominated the league at one point. And they were the team I would always go with in FIFA. So I was going to pick between Man United and Chelsea and just throw a random guess, but I'll pick Man United as well.
Oh, look at that. Bang, bang. Two wins right there. Well done, fellas. It's that third option again. It's come back to haunt me.
You've done it. You've done it again. You've done it again. My word.
Yeah. but I think it was something like 21 Community Shield wins for Man United, and I think Arsenal and Liverpool both had 14 or 15, and Chelsea had next to nothing. I think it was maybe 4 or something like that. Everton were actually the fourth best.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just thought that would be an obvious one not to go for, so I put Chelsea in there to try and confuse you guys. But, yep, didn't work as always.
Is this going to be the Walmart Community Shield for next season when City and Messi are playing in it?
Well, what do you reckon about that, mate? Do you reckon Messi's a chance at Man City?
Well, I've always said if he was to leave, it would be for City, simply for the fact the infrastructure that we've got. It's basic. When he enjoyed his time at Barcelona, it's essentially the exact same backroom staff, the exact same board of directors. So it's essentially Barca then into now, and he can join. But they've been saying for some time, like I follow, I'm not sure if you follow some people on Twitter, but they always kind of say, you know, the board is going to destroy this club. Like it's going downhill. And Bartom, he was just single-handedly put the club into debt, alienated the world's greatest player. Obviously, letting go of half a squad as well. It's just it's incredible like what's happening there. But again, you do wonder, is it just a ploy to kind of get rid of the board? And the thing is that my head is saying, probably won't happen, just stay calm. But my heart is going absolutely mental, wanting to run around at the thought of signing Messi. It's going to be similar to the night we signed Robinho when that came out of nowhere. And I was just like, what? It's like FIFA in real life.
It's like Arsenal David Luiz last season, out of nowhere.
But the thing is, if we got Messi, it'd just be ridiculous, wouldn't it? You know, De Bruyne feeding balls into Messi. For me, I feel, even if it happens, for Phil Foden, wow. You just had 10 years under the tutelage of David Silva. Then you've got Messi coming in, so you can learn a few bits from him as well. It's great. Also, if he came to the Premier League, it'd be great for the English football in general, but potentially our national country as well, like constantly having to defend against players of his ilk or play with players of his ilk and learning from him. Win-win.
I'd personally love to see him go to Juve. I reckon that would be just so much fun seeing him and Ronaldo play together.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be a very interesting one. All right, that'll do us for today, fellas. Next podcast will be coming out on Monday. I chatted to Peter Sainsbury earlier this week. He's an economist and author of a lot of books. Had a really, really interesting chat about some of the similarities, differences, pros and cons of trading or trading on the stock market compared to betting. And I found his, considering he's an economist, I found his answers very, very interesting. Very, I would say, favourable towards betting. So definitely give that one a listen. For anyone who's, it's really interesting for anyone who doesn't really know that there's a lot of similarities between trading stocks and betting. But other than that, thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you do a quick rate and review of the podcast. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you're looking to implement some of the strategies we talk about on this podcast, more so the value betting ones, go and start a free week trial of Trademate Sports. And especially those, anyone listening from America, we just launched the last week, the Trademate US package. So at a lot cheaper price, at $49 a month. So it's a lot cheaper than Trademate Core, and you just get to basically trade on the US sports. So good if you're looking to come in with a lower starting bankroll and not have to spend as much money initially. But yeah, cheers again, fellas, and I'll see you next week.